It's 7:45 here on Giant 90.9. And that can only mean one thing. Your host, Owen Pulley, is alongside Maxwell Gilly and John Easter in HD1 Studios. And it's time for the Sports Spotlight! We got fireworks going, we got air horns going, we got everything going. And this is another episode of the Sports Spotlight here on Indy's Giant 90.9. We're going to talk a little bit about sports.
There's always
today.
One that goes off. You
there
know?
Is always one.
Yeah.
Like you think it's done and then
they have the late one.
I went to one. There was a fireworks show after an Indy 11 game, and it was like about 15 minutes long for 4th of July. I thought it was going to be done like three different times.
Yeah.
And that's always you see like favorite. A bunch of them. You're like, is that the grand finale? Oh, is that the grand finale? Like, you don't know what's going on. And then it's better. The late one is better than one that, like, is really low to the ground.
I did have a fireworks story. One time we were shooting off fireworks at my brother's, and we had one of those, the artillery shells that got put in the tube upside down.
That's not good.
No, it's not. Those things shake the ground when they go off.
Yeah,
and then accidentally too, it fell over and like shot the artillery shell towards us. Too, we should have taken like when the one got put in upside down, that should have been a hint, like not to do anymore. But yeah, and then I always love it around the 4th of July when they do like the demonstrations and like they show the watermelon, exploding and like the mannequin getting burned up and all that stuff. Like you're gonna hold an artillery shell, I'm sure they do that though because somebody has actually done it. It's kind of like, why is there a rule for that? Well, probably because somebody did it. So anyway,
yeah, fireworks are definitely a crazy thing. You don't want to mess with those.
No, you don't want to play with fireworks.
Yeah,
or with fire.
Yeah, don't want to. Probably shouldn't talk to
with a porcupine.
Jason Pierre-Paul, but unfortunately, did.
Oh,
that was a bad situation. But
that was
that. Yeah, but he's an NFL player.
Yep.
Max, you know what day it is?
Football day. Football's back.
Oh yeah.
Football season is back today as the Buffalo Bills take on the Los Angeles Rams in Los Angeles. I believe at 7:00. You can check that out. But yeah, football is back today. So, I know I'm excited. Max, are you excited?
I have been waiting for far too long. It's finally here.
I mean, it's NFL season. It's like college football and everything was kind of like the appetizer. It was the lobster and crab stuffed mushrooms of the Red Lobster dinner. And now you're ready for the whatever it is you get, the ultimate
lobster
feast.
Tail.
Here we go. Yep.
Yeah, I'm excited for football today.
I make too many food references, don't I?
No, you're good.
Okay.
Food references are always good. But I don't know how many times I've said it, but I'm excited.
You excited for...
No, I'm not excited.
All right.
But
you know who else would be excited if they were here?
Jackson White?
Maybe? Lucas.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. I don't know why I said Jackson White.
And Jackson White.
Jackson just... Yes, I'm very excited.
Yes.
Very excited for the game.
I'm really excited.
But the Bills take on the Rams tonight. Thursday night football kicking it off.
So you have a Buffalo versus a Ram. What will that look like? That would be a good battle, I would think.
That would be a good battle.
You know, the Buffalo, the bison is one of the largest mammals against, a Ram. And I wouldn't want to mess with a Ram because they have like, the horn and
they're extremely territorial and everything too.
Like. I will say this though, two of the classic uniforms too in the NFL. The Rams have both have updated their classic look, but it should be good. You've got Josh Allen in that offense. You've got probably, other than the Colts, the best defense in the league too with the Rams, with the Bills, but also you got the Rams with a spectacular defense and coming off that big victory in the Super Bowl last year. LA is going to be hyped for this one at SoFi.
Yeah, it'll definitely be a big game, especially being a home game. But on Sunday, the Eagles take on the Lions. the Bears and the 49ers. The Steelers travel to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals, the Patriots, and the Dolphins. Browns versus the Panthers. Baker Mayfield going against his old team week one. Colts at Houston to play the Texans and the Saints and Falcons. Ravens, Jets, Jaguars, Commanders, Packers, Vikings, Giants and Titans, Raiders and Chargers, Chiefs and Cardinals, Buccaneers and Cowboys, and Broncos and Seahawks on Monday night. So it'll be definitely an action-packed week one. I'm excited for the Colts game, taking on the Texans. Trying to snap that, I believe, eight years yeah. of dropping their home open, or not their home open, their opener.
Yeah.
So hoping to snap that streak.
Hard to believe when you think about it. If you go back 8 years ago, that's into the Andrew Luck era, and you think the Colts for 8 years in a row started 0-1. And that's just not the way you want to get your season off to a start. You know, you certainly want to, especially when you're playing a team like the Texans, team with the new coach.
Or the Jaguars.
Oh, like, geez.
Yeah.
The 1-15 Jaguars.
Well, those are the first two opponents for the Colts.
Right.
You don't start 2-0. It's your own darn fault if you miss the playoffs.
But that's the thing, too. You're if you don't start 2-0, you're also not starting 2-0 in your own division.
Correct. You'd be 0-2 in your own division. And, you know, I've heard Shaquille Leonard may not play. There was some time they were thinking that he might, but the Colts want him to be a 100%. I mean, these are must-win games getting out of the box. I mean, with the Colts' schedule this year, there's potential for the Colts to, you know, be barely above 500, or they could be 12-5. But if you lose these first two games, then you're talking maybe you're under 500 if some things don't go your way. You're going to have to make that up later on in the schedule. And, you know, the Colts have the Chiefs and they have the Bengals and they have so many different other teams on their schedule. They're going to have to make up that. Yeah, well, and the Chargers and the Raiders and the let's see, who else is on Broncos? I mean, the Colts don't have an easy schedule this year once they get past these games. So, you know, the four games against Houston and Jacksonville, you got to win all four of those. There's just no question. You got to win all four of those.
And you have to at least
– you have to get a split with the Titans at least.
Split the Titans.
Yeah.
And I feel like getting swept by the Titans will hinder them a lot. But also, if you get swept by the Titans and they lose one of those four games, that'll be tough for them in the division.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's 3-3 in the division, and also one of those losses to either Jacksonville or Houston.
This is truly one of the years I think the Colts have one of the best chances to just dominate this AFC South, because I don't think that Tennessee is going to be nearly as high as they were in the past. Yes, I know they have Derrick Henry, but he won't be he's like really the only one left there now. A lot of their guys are gone. So,
what, you don't think Ryan Tannehill will
anybody? No, I don't think so.
I mean, Ryan
Tannehill's... And I mean, I've been wrong about him multiple times.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I liked him better when he was with the Dolphins.
Cuz you actually
I don't think the Dolphins fans enjoyed when he was there that much though. They weren't doing so
hot. Dolphins are my second favorite NFL team, just so you know.
Mine's the Bills. Max, what's yours?
Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a Peyton thing?
Yes, I thought. And I was having them as my number one for the longest time because I felt betrayed.
Now, for the purposes of friend of the show, Derek Schultz, did you have the Peyton jersey that was the Colts and the Broncos?
I never did that.
Okay.
Third grade me wanted it because someone from my school had it, and I thought it was cool. But I never got one.
I think you're exempted if you're third grade, Max.
If you're an adult and doing it.
Yeah.
When did you, or why did you become a Dolphins fan?
The Dolphins were my first favorite team because I'm old enough to remember when the Colts weren't here. Mm-hmm. So the Dolphins were my, Dan Marino, that was my first favorite team. And, you know, quickly the Colts arrived in town, so they kind of took over my fascination with football. But it's always been the Colts, the Bears, and the Dolphins. Those are my three favorite teams, and the Bears because they're my brother's favorite team. So when the Colts or the Bears played in the Super Bowl, that was a difficult day for our family.
Yeah, I have one of my old science teachers. He's a Bears fan and a Colts fan. and like he has like some Bears stuff, he has some Colts stuff. But I
The Colts now. I mean,
yeah,
it's just, no question the Colts.
Right. I like the Bills because my dad grew up in Buffalo in the 90s when they went to four straight Super Bowls, and then like he always watched the Bills too. Like if the Colts weren't playing or like they weren't on, then I just watched them.
And nobody circles the wagons. Like
nobody
the Buffalo
circles
Bills.
The wagons better than the Buffalo Bills.
That's right.
I thought of it one time inside Midwest football. Coach Simmons was talking about circling the wagons.
Yeah,
and I was thinking about it, and I was like,
oh. When you turn on the film, nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills,
like the Ben Davis Giants.
Yeah, and the Giants.
Yeah,
big we'll game get, on Friday. We'll get to that later.
We'll get to that later. But yeah, the NFL. I do think that the Colts are going to have to win their division. I think that they're going to have to win their division and make a run in the playoffs. Now, you don't have to win your division to make the run in the playoffs, but I think that they're going to have to get hot. They're going to have to stay hot to be hot in the playoffs.
I was also listening to JMV yesterday on the ride home. I was listening to JMV, and he was talking to Rick Venturi, who does the analysis for the Indianapolis Colts on the radio. He's also a former NFL head coach with the Colts, and I think he was head coach for the Saints for in between coaches. But anyway, Coach Venturi was talking about this roster from the Indianapolis Colts, and he said that he doesn't feel like the Colts have any glaring weaknesses on their roster. He's actually fairly high on the Colts receiving core, which I know people have kind of wondered about, but he did say that the depth on the offensive line is a big concern. He doesn't think that the Colts are real deep and can go very deep on their offensive line. So if you start seeing injuries pile up on that line, which we've seen the last few years, or other things pile up with last year was COVID, but the situation with the offensive line for the Colts will be critical for this team. However, he was talking about how he believes that the left side of the Colts line is as solid as anybody in the league. He feels like, especially on the run, the Colts are going to be extremely potent as a running attack this year, which obviously when you have the Colts back running backs that you have back there with Nyheim Hines and that other guy, what's his name?
Jonathan Jaylor.
The consensus number one pick in anybody's fantasy draft.
They had a tier list on the NFL. ESPN posted one, and it was like tier 5 through 1, and there was like 4 players on each one of tier 5 through 2, and then tier 1 was just Jonathan Taylor.
But you know, with Jonathan Taylor, I think the Colts are going to be okay in the running game, and certainly I think Matt Ryan is an upgrade with quarterback. He's if not the best quarterback that Frank Reich has had, and I'm not discounting Andrew Luck in this, but Andrew Luck really was never healthy. So he's probably the best quarterback that Frank Reich has had. I don't think there's really any excuses for this Colts team, especially we haven't even talked about the other side of the football, and that's this Colts defense, which they significantly upgraded, I would say, especially on the line and in the defensive back core. The linebacker core was pretty solid with that one guy named Leonard in there. And so I think that the Colts significantly upgraded back there. Punter is now a question mark, but I think we saw that the guy who replaced Rigoberto Sanchez.
Hawk,
I think it is.
I think it's Hawk because it's 2 A's.
Yeah. We saw he was solid when he came in, but it was preseason again, and, you know, who knows about preseason. So, bet the Buffalo Bills wish they had him back now.
Not a punter, really a backup third string punter
after their issues up there. But the Colts on special teams, I mean, Rodrigo Blankenship will be a question mark again this year. You know, he had some issues last year, got injured, and then the Colts brought in Michael Blakely, I think the guy's name was, to place kick.
Money Badger. Michael Badgley.
Badgley. That's Michael. What did I get? Blakely.
He was there. Was he their practice squad? Or I think he just got released or something. Yeah. I think there's a guy, Blakely, that just got released.
So they had Badgley come in, and, you know, he was okay, but the Colts have not shown the ability to kick those big, long 50-yard-plus field goals that you need maybe to win a game or that you need if a drive breaks down. Of course, with Frank Reich, he's probably, if not the most aggressive coach in the NFL on fourth down, one of the top three most aggressive, probably the other being in this division with Mike Vrabel and Bill Belichick and some of those guys go for it a lot on fourth down. So it's going to be, I think, a litmus test year for the Colts front office and also for Frank Reich. I'm not going to say that his job is on the line quite yet, but if you have a season that goes really south, I think you could probably see Jim Irsay, you know, deciding that this is it for the Frank Reich experience if, let's say, the Colts don't win this division or don't make the playoffs. I mean, certainly, you know, somebody comes out of the gate and they're, what, 16-1 and you end up 12-5. I mean, there's no shame in that. That's certainly something that could happen. But with I think the Colts are the odds-on favorite in the AFC South. So they have to produce this year. There's no more excuses. Frank Reich has everybody he wants. There's no asterisks anymore. You know, it's like, well, you know, Carson Wentz will be, you know, this or that. I mean, there's nothing. This is the chance for the Colts to make their move in the AFC. And it's a tough AFC.
Definitely. You have three names right off the bat that I can name that could possibly hoist the Lombardi trophy this year in Buffalo, Cincinnati, and Kansas City. Those could all be teams.
Kansas City may take a step back.
They could.
I was about to say, just that entire AFC West as a whole.
Yeah. But, yeah.
You could see any four of those teams really making noise this year.
But, I mean, with the Chiefs, they could take a step back, but also Patrick Mahomes could be Patrick Mahomes. And
I mean, the AFC South is probably still the weakest AFC division, followed by the North, maybe.
I don't know. The East is...
The East, I mean... It's kind of
the Bills
kinda,
are really good,
right? We know the Jets are going to be a disaster, or they should be.
Joe Flacco, week one.
Oh man! So you know the poor New York sports fans.
And by the way, you're listening to WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis.
I mean,
on the Sports Spotlight.
The only thing there you have is maybe the Rangers and the Brooklyn Nets, and that's like the Knicks certainly.
I mean, the Mets.
Oh, you got the Mets.
They're tied in the NL East now because they have their fold and the Bears are good.
The Mets. Seinfeld, it's because of the trumpets.
Yeah.
Mets and the Yankees.
Still can't believe
Narco.
It. Exactly. Yeah. I can't believe Seinfeld was just like, it's all because of Narcos, nothing else.
Yeah.
You got the Mets and the Yankees.
Yeah.
They're doing all right. But as far as the football side of things, I mean, it's going to be a struggle with the Jets and the Giants this year. Not the Ben Davis Giants. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But it's a struggle with the Jets and the Giants. They're struggling a bit this year. So, then turning the NFC, what do you see over there?
I see some good things possibly. I think that the NFC East is going to be bad. I mean, it seems like the NFC East is always just kind of at the bottom there. The NFC South could be good. The Panthers could do something with Christian McCaffrey back and Baker Mayfield in Carolina. Tampa Bay is probably going to be good. You know, Tampa Bay, the Tampa Bay.
Who's the quarterback down there?
I don't know.
That guy, didn't he retire?
Yeah. Some old guy named Tom.
Something like that.
Tom Brody.
But the
Tim Brody.
There we go.
Tim
the Michigan
Brody,
kid.
That's right. Yeah, Michigan. Michigan State.
No. Exactly.
But the NFC North, you know, Aaron Rodgers could possibly make a run for back-to-back-to-back MVPs. The Bears are probably going to be bad. They could. I don't know. The NFC North is always spotty because, like, you have the Packers who are pretty good all the time. The Vikings, everybody's like, oh, they're going to. And then they do good.
And there's the Lions.
And then there's the Lions and the Bears.
Man, I would love. And the Tigers, just throw them in there just for the oh my. But I really do believe, and I hope for Dan Campbell's sake, that the Lions make some noise this year. That'd be a lot of fun.
I mean, but look at the Rams-Lions trade you had. I know it's a little different, you know, you make off-season moves and stuff, but you had Jared Goff, made the Super Bowl a couple years ago with the Rams. Matt Stafford had never been to the Super Bowl. They get traded. The Lions do whatever they did last year. I believe they had, what, two wins? three wins.
They were
something
they were
like
so
that.
Close.
But then
though.
who won the Super Bowl? It was Matt Stafford.
Right.
So
well, and you always, I mean, every year you have a worst or first team that right. goes. And you know, for the Colts' sake, you hope it's not the Jaguars who have Doug Peterson now as their head coach instead of inept Smith that they had last year.
Yeah.
But hopefully.
Is he back on Fox now?
That was actually going to be my question. I don't know. I don't know. I'm a college game day guy. I don't usually watch Big Ten kickoff.
Yeah.
No need.
Lee Corso. I like that guy. He's cool. The college. Isn't he college game day?
He is college game day.
We skipped the college game day, but I'm of course referring to Urban Meyer. The Urban Meyer experiment did not go well at all in Jacksonville. Read an Athletic article that keeps getting tweeted out every once in a while. Just a horrible situation in Jacksonville last year. Just a total, you know,
like
mess.
I wouldn't even want to show up to practice if I was like on the Jaguars team.
Right.
With that.
So now you got a guy who knows what he's doing, at least when it comes to the NFL there now, and that is of course Doug Peterson, who
fairly experienced
has won a Super Bowl. Yeah. And with Frank Reich, actually, in Philadelphia.
And
so,
Nick Foles.
And Carson Wentz was on that roster, too.
Yeah, you're losing my privileges.
But, you know, the situation there with is much better. Should be in Jacksonville. Jacksonville has already a very good defense. There's no question about that.
I actually think they are going to be better this year.
So,
just because they have a good quarterback. He just needs to be able to prove it.
I think the Texans are the team that may look like they're the worst team in the AFC South this
year. Yeah, I think the Jaguars are going to finish third, and the Texans are probably going to be like, they're probably going to go like 4-13, 3-14.
Texans go out and get Lovie Smith, though, as their head coach, who didn't do well at Illinois, but he joined their staff, and then they did a big coach search and then decided they wanted Lovie Smith. So he is back. I thought I apologize. My ability to remember names this morning is just not good. But the coach that was there last year, I think he kind of got.
He was the guy from the Patriots last year. I wish I could remember.
But he's only there 1 year, and they really didn't like. He had the Deshaun Watson thing hanging over him all year, and none of that was his fault really last year. And then.
I mean,
he kind of takes the fall.
He can't control another player's actions off
the
field.
David something.
You know, can't control a player's actions off the field, but it got hung over.
David Coley.
There you go.
Like he did control it. Just an unfortunate situation there in Houston all of last year. But I do think my final predictions for the the AFC South, I think the Colts are probably going to go. I think they're going to go 12-5 or 13. I think 13-4. You know, I think they can have a push, go 13-4, and I think that they're going to go 5-1 in the division. I think that the Titans are going to go 11-6, and I think that they're going to win. I think that they're going to go 5-1 in the division as well. I think that they're going to sweep, and I think that there's a chance that the Texans and Jaguars, I think they get swept by the Colts and Titans, so those teams are both 0-4. I think they're going to probably split against each other. So both go 2-4, and I think the Jaguars are probably going to go, I don't know, 6-11, and then I think the Texans are going to go like 4-13.
Yeah, I think those are good bets. I think those are. I think the Colts. When I looked at their schedule, I thought 12-5. Now, I don't know if that's just my rose-colored glasses or anything. I know that the quote-unquote 100,000 simulation bot gives the Colts like 9.8 wins, so almost 10. I don't know what that's looking at, you know, but certainly
Carson wins.
That's what the AI said. 10 wins, so that's what the simulation bot says for the Colts, which they still predict to be enough to win the AFC South. I just think that if the Colts can get to 12 or 13 wins, and you start talking about having a home playoff game here at Lucas Oil Stadium, certainly you get that fourth seed with the way the NFL is set up now. You're playing that first week. You don't get the bye. So there are a number of things that happen with that. I think that I think that anywhere from 10 to 12 wins is where I'm picking the Colts. 10, 11, 12 wins, winning the AFC South. I think the Titans are in it all the way, and I think it's going to come down to those divisional games between the Colts and the Titans. Certainly, as long as Derrick Henry stays healthy, there's no question that the Titans have a really good defense. I mean, that's the thing in the AFC South. You have three elite defenses, and I throw the Jaguars into that category. They have an elite defense. Their offense has been the problem. And if Trevor Lawrence can kind of come around, there's definitely potential there. We've seen Doug Peterson, when he had Frank Reich on his staff, was a bit of a quarterback whisperer because that's the position he played when he was there. So he got Nick Foles, and the Colts have Nick Foles now. But the Colts, the Jaguars, I mean, I think there's a big potential there for them to make a move. I know a lot of people may not agree with that, but I could see the Jaguars coming out near 500 and being at least in the conversation, maybe 6-7 wins for the Jags. They're still going to be young. They still have a lot of young players on that roster, especially in the offensive side of the football. Then you look at the Texans, and man, I just don't see much from them this year. I just don't see exactly where they make a move forward. I don't see that from the Texans. Of course, Lovie Smith is a very experienced coach, has coached in a Super Bowl before, had Rex Grossman into the Super Bowl. So, you know, the guy can certainly coach defense as well. So when you look at the AFC South, I mean, I think the Colts are the Titans. If you know, we don't encourage putting money on things on WBDG, but if I were a betting man, one of those two teams would get my bet to win the AFC South, followed by the Jags, and then the Texans bringing up the rear. And I think it could be real bad for the Texans this year. I mean, I really do. I just don't see anything on their roster past maybe a couple of different spots where you think, man, that team is going to win a bunch of games this year. I just don't see that from the Texans.
I understand they have the good head coach, but you can't be successful when you have no one there.
Well, and I think he's probably rebuilding too at this point. He knows exactly what it's going to be. But I think the AFC, I mean, the Colts are going to be in the conversation, I think, for the AFC this year. I don't know if they've got enough to go up to Buffalo or to go to, let's see, where else might they have to go? They might have to go to Buffalo, maybe, I mean, the Raiders or the Chiefs or the Chargers.
Any of the AFC West
teams.
Or the Broncos. You know, you look at the AFC North, and it really comes down, I think, to the Ravens and the Bengals. The Browns, of course, if somehow they can keep the car running until Deshaun Watson gets his situation.
Hey, Jacoby Brissett.
Right, Jacoby Brissett. I mean, that kind of probably takes the Browns out of it, I think. So you're looking at maybe the Bengals and, you know, the Steelers, man.
I mean, they have some young guys, but the
Steelers,
I don't trust their quarterback situation at all.
Yeah, you want to put the Steelers up there because I think Mike Tomlin is an underrated coach. If somebody who's coached as long in the league as he has can be underrated.
For as young as he is compared to these other coaches, too.
Right, he's just a little bit over 50, and he's already been in the league for as long as he's been. You know, Mike Tomlin, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. I think the Ravens will be back as long as Lamar Jackson stays healthy. I mean, there's another great coach in John Harbaugh there, who's done a lot of great things. And you saw what kind of coach he was last year with just the number of injuries that his team had, and he somehow kept them in the conversation.
Yeah, they really had no running back week one.
I mean, you want to say maybe the Bengals will take a step back, but they want to prove that it's not a fluke, and I think they have the best roster in the AFC North.
I mean, they struggled with their offensive line last year. I think they added to their offensive line. You have Joe Burrow. And then you have
Tigers.
T. Higgins is on that team. You have Jamar Chase. You have all these players. You have a good team. I think their defense is pretty good. I think that they could add to it a little bit. I don't think it's up there with, heck, even the Colts. But yeah,
I mean, when you start to look at that AFC, there's some opportunities there. It's stacked. at the top, but I don't think there's a lot of mid teams in the NFC. You're either going to be really good or you're going to be the Steelers, you know, which is like probably a 8-9 win team, and then you're going to be everybody else. I don't think there's a lot of middle ground there in the NFC. Now, the NFC, we haven't really talked that much about the NFC. Of course, who knows? I heard the Cowboys were already eliminated from the playoffs.
Yeah, I saw that already.
Yeah. It's Dak. I mean, I want Dak to do well. I like that guy a lot. What do you think about the NFC?
Like I said earlier, I think the East is going to be weak again.
Open for the Cowboys. Any of those other three teams? Eagles, maybe?
If you look at the stats, for the past, since like 2000, there's not been a repeat winner of the NFC East since like 2002, 2003, something like that. There's not been a repeat winner, even when the Giants were in the early 2010s, when they were really good and they were making it to the playoffs almost every year I believe it was 4 or 5 years straight. They were in the playoffs. They didn't win the division every year. There was a couple of years where the Cowboys snuck in there. I think the Eagles pulled out one win, and then I think the Commanders did. Well, yeah, Washington did a couple of years, you know, a couple of those. So, yeah.
And I think that unlike the AFC, there's a potential to have a lot of teams that are around the conversation that maybe aren't in, but they're around. Because there are a lot of teams that you're just like, you look at the Vikings, you're like, hell, I don't know if they can win. Like,
they do it every year. You look at them like that, and then they pull out 12 wins.
Yeah. Or you look at, like, I don't know, the Panthers. Well, if the Panthers get some quality quarterback play out of Baker Mayfield, you get, as you said earlier, get McCaffrey going again. You get him going again. I think then maybe the Panthers get in the conversation in a weak NFC South that probably is Tampa Bay's to win.
Yeah.
The Saints with Jameis Winston, good defense. Could they make some noise? Then you get out to the West, and the West is just ridiculous. The NFC West.
I like how you ignored the Falcons in the NFC South.
What
are they going to do?
Right. I mean, they don't have Calvin Ridley.
I see Texans.
They don't have Matt Ryan.
They only have like Kyle Pitts. That's about it.
They do have a good owner in Arthur Blank, and I think wants to try to get that team to move forward again. And they will. I have no doubt that they will. But, you know, they haven't really settled on a coach. You know, they've been through 3 or 4 coaches since they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, 2 coaches, I think, since they went to the Super Bowl. You know, you look at the Falcons, I don't see them doing much. You get out West, that West is stacked. Any 4 of those teams. I mean, the Seahawks have questions, I think, now.
I think the 49ers do, too. With Trey Lance. I think that Trey Lance could be a good quarterback.
I mean, they got Jimmy G back, but are they even going to start him, though?
They do have Jimmy G, but...
That was a weird situation.
Yeah, that was an odd... I was excited to see what could happen with Trey Lance there on his own, and then there was just like, hey, let's bring Jimmy G back and ruin all that progress.
I think that was more of a defensive move, though, because they didn't... You know, with the Seahawks needing kind of a quarterback or somebody to stabilize that franchise.
So you're obviously not a big Drew Lock guy.
They didn't want Jimmy G out there, I think. At least, you know, if they would have, let's say they would have released him. Maybe nobody picks Jimmy G up and then Drew Lock has a tough start. Then you get a situation where maybe you get Jimmy G in your own division. And I think maybe it was more worth it for the 49ers to keep him off somebody else's roster. Because they're going to be one of those teams that's probably around 9-10 wins.
I think it's in the West. It's the Rams to lose. Obviously, you win the Super Bowl the year prior. It's going to be yours to lose. Like how the North, I think with the Bengals, they're not the best team in that division. But it's their division to lose.
Don't forget, there were some retirements on that Rams roster.
Andrew Whitworth.
And, of course, you have a situation where they already had a win now kind of roster put together. So that roster is aging quickly. So can they sustain what they did last year? You know, Sean McVay's obviously one of the best coaches in the league. I mean, his record speaks for itself. You give him a lot of players to play with on that side of the ball, on the offensive side, and then obviously they put together a great defense and defensive staff as well. So it's theirs to – I know John Madden always used to say, hey, you go with the team that won until they don't win again. Boom. So that's what you kind of have to do. I mean, the Rams are the favorite until they're not the favorite. But if you, like, you know, made me give you a favorite, I think it's the Buffalo Bills this year. And I'd be happy for that because
yeah, it would be
the Buffalo fans deserve something. I think the Bills look like the best team on paper. I think Sean McDermott, even though he's done a great job up there, is underrated still as a head coach. I mean, I think that they're the team that I look at to be the best in the league. I don't know what you guys think.
This has been the question I've been dreading because this is going to be such a difficult year to predict because, like we said, there are a lot of talented teams. But I guess I'll just go Buffalo, too. You know, they've just been looking so good.
It's kind of the haves and the have-nots in the NFL right now. There's not – I don't see that mediocre level. Like, there's not a lot of teams that are just going to be in that 7, 8, 9 win area. And that's why it's so critical for the Colts to win these games that they have to win. Must-win games.
I think that – yeah, I think the Steelers are going to be on the top of that. Jaguars could be on the bottom of that middle of the pack area. You could have some teams kind of sprinkled in there. I think that Washington, I think that Philadelphia possibly could be there. Carolina, you were saying too, with their quarterback situation, maybe Seattle. But I think really out of the 32 teams, I think there's only going to be four or five teams that are going to be in that spot.
So who do you think is like the team you're watching to maybe be the best team? The field clearer,
the creme de la creme of the NFL.
The creme de la creme. We didn't even mention the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. It just feels like they always NFC have the
championship game. You know.
Yeah, I was about to say they always have the good regular season, but just can't get over the hump.
Yeah, but I think that my Super Bowl champ to watch this year is the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills. Da Bills.
Da Bills.
Da Bills.
Da Bills. Yeah, I think, and of course, here we are. If I
ever can't
co-host again the show in later on this year, and the Bills are 4-13, you can, you know.
I can't wait until we go back to this and just see how wrong we were.
Yeah.
Because there's bound to
mark
be
mark the tape.
It's the NFL. NFL is so hard to find out. Like with the MLB, the NBA, the NHL, like you play 162 in the MLB, you play 82 in the NBA and the NHL, like. You're bound to get some wrong, but you played 17 games in the NFL, but it's so hard to predict all this stuff because it's the NFL. Something always happens in the NFL.
Well, we're not even thinking of injuries yet.
Right.
That's the biggest thing that will happen, and you can't go in predicting injuries. I mean, we had a 49ers situation a couple years ago. I remember they were coming off the Super Bowl, and everyone was so hyped with them. And then, like, their entire team got injured week 3 in New York because the turf there wasn't very good.
Yeah, that was very unfortunate there. But we've been talking about it all episode. We're going to get to it for a little bit here, and then we're going to close out the episode. The Giants of Ben Davis taking on Center Grove this week. Tomorrow, actually. Max, you'll be on that call. I will be on that call alongside Kyle Stout. I think that it'll be a good matchup. Center Grove losing to Louisville Trinity last week by 1 on a failed 2-point conversion. So, unfortunate for Center Grove, but the Giants looking forward to taking on them.
Coach Moore rolling the dice down there in Louisville and trying to do what you do. I think they always say if you're on the road, you play for the win. If you're at home, you play for overtime. Coach Moore playing for the win, and you got to respect that, certainly when you've got a 30 game winning streak on the line, that you don't, you know, just go to going for two, but
yeah,
the wait,
it was
double overtime,
think, so yeah,
you have
double
to go
overtime.
For two, right?
Yeah, you have to.
Is that the rule with the IHSA? I'd have to check that out.
Well, they were in another state, though, so when you're in other states, you have to go by their rules, too. So
KHSAA.
I think that Friday night will come down to the Giants. I have a good feeling for some reason about this game. I mean, a really good feeling. I think that this Ben Davis team, maybe more so than some in the past, they just feel different. Like there's a different feeling, a different confidence level, I think, from this team. And the biggest thing will be there's kind of a mystique around Center Grove right now. You know, I think that that helps them out a lot. When you look at the Trojans, what they've accomplished the last few years, there is a mystique, I think, right now, kind of like maybe some of those Ben Davis teams of the 90s and early 2000s had, where you look across and you're like, there's the white uniforms, the red trim, the helmets with the numbers on them. That's Center Grove over there. You know, there is that mystique. And even if the players maybe aren't up to the caliber, and I'm not saying that Center, don't get me wrong, I'm not dogging Center Grove, but, you know, they lost a lot last year. Those players that wear those uniforms embody that same kind of mystique and feeling like, hey, we're Center Grove and we're going to kick your butt this tonight. So I think that's kind of the mentality that Center Grove has and that Coach Moore's put into those players. So, you know, they're going to play extraordinarily hard. And it's going to be, I think, a game that comes down to, can the Giants look across at Center Grove and say, hey, we're Ben Davis. You know, the standard is the standard. I think that's what it's going to come down to on Friday night, and ignore the fact that you've lost seven games in a row against them and ignore all the other kinds of things. This is a 50-50 game.
The big thing I see with this one, it reminds me of Notre Dame versus Ohio State a little bit. When we were talking about it, the big thing we were saying was, hey, even if you lose, you need to hang on because Ben Davis needs to get that big win. Brownsburg has obviously shown that they're, hey, upper top team in 6A.
But are they, though?
Right now, just because they're one of the only ones who are undefeated, so people are going to say they're one of the top ones. I know. We can do all of that, but the big thing is you have to play well against great competition. It cannot be like it was in semi-state.
You have to do it on the scoreboard.
Exactly.
You can't play a close first half and then not.
Yeah, it can't be. We won two and a half quarters.
Nobody pays attention to the halftime score. Everybody pays attention to the final.
Exactly.
Score.
But I am excited for this one. It should be a good one. But Center Grove, they want to get their frustrations out on someone, and it's going to be Ben Davis.
And, you know, too, Center Grove is a home run team. I mean, they'll hit a home run play on you. You just have to brush it off. Coach Allen used to have a saying when he was here, don't play the last play, play the next play. You hear him still say it now when he's at IU. That's the thing about Tom Allen, having him on this Inside Ben Davis Football on our airwaves. You hear all the Allenisms still, you know, because he still says the same things. Next big game. It's our next big game. You know, it's like, Coach, what do you think about Ohio State? That's just the next big game at IU. You know, he used to say the next big game at Ben Davis. So this is kind of the next big game at Ben Davis, and the Giants have to have that mentality that maybe it is just another game, even though it is the two-time defending state champs and team that's won 30 straight against Indiana competition over on the other side.
Yeah, but it'll be a big game for the Giants. Check that out on Friday at 7 p.m. Kickoff is at 7. Pregame starts at 6:15 right here in EGI 90.9. But then it's been the Sports Spotlight.
These 2 weeks are big for Ben Davis because you get Center Grove Friday, and then next week it's the Circle City Showdown with Warren Central at Dub C, a game that they should have won last year but didn't. So yeah. these are two big weeks for the Giants to see where they're going to be, I think.
Yeah, I think that'll be huge for them, and turn around one of them, non-conference, one of them conference game. It'll be huge for them. But, yeah, check that out here tomorrow at 7 o'clock is kickoff, 6:15 pregame. Check it out here, Indy's Giant 90.9. This has been the Sports Spotlight. Owen Pulley alongside Max Gilley and John Easter, Indy's Giant 90.9.